It's a real joy to be with you here tonight at Mauer. I bring love and greetings from the saints there in Brooksville, Florida, to all the saints there. And my dear sister Celeste Sullen, we call Tina, and also Verrill Sullen, they asked me to express their thanks to the saints there for your prayer and even your presence at the homegoing service of my brother-in-law Edmund Sullen. So thank you so much, and thank you for being such a blessing to us, and thank you for your prayers for us. Tonight we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we sang tonight at the very outstart, that He is the living Lord. So we're here tonight not to remember one who is dead and absent, but one who is alive and present in our midst tonight. And our eyes are going to be turning toward Him. So I would like to share with you tonight just a simple message, and that is the significant impact of seeing the Lord. The significant impact of seeing the Lord. So I'll look at the first question in the Bible, and then we'll go to the New Testament. In the book of Genesis chapter 3 that you know so well. As you know, in Genesis chapter 3, you have the attack of the enemy on three things, and you would see the three tools that he continues to use, the three tools that he used to bring the whole humanity into despair and ruin. But thank God we have our Lord Jesus Christ who has overcome and will bring redemption where there is ruin. And so in the first verses of Genesis chapter 3, we have the fact that the enemy came and tempted Eve. Now he says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to him, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. And she put in, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil, etc., etc. And for brevity of time, we come to verse 9. The Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. It's amazing that three things that the enemy attacks are: one, the authority of the word of God. Has God said? Secondly, he attacks the accuracy of the word of God of every tree. And the third thing he attacks is the acceptability of the word of God. Would you believe that? That's not true. You shall not surely die. That's a lie. You are going to be like God. So the three things that the enemy attacks, and you and I, we need to watch out for these things. Satan, he uses three tools. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, good for food, and pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, and be as God, that's the pride of life. And these are the three tools that Satan uses on all of us, except we can overcome through Jesus Christ. So he used these same three tools down on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll find that in Luke chapter 4. He came, he led Jesus into the wilderness. It took him at the point when he was hungry. And he said, if you be God, if you be the Son of God, then you command these stones to be bread, the lust of the flesh. Then took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the glory in a moment of time, the lust of the eyes. And then he said, oh, you can throw yourself down. They will catch you, the pride of life. But Jesus Christ, he did not yield to the enemy. And I'm so glad to say tonight that Satan is convincing. Satan is consistent. But thank God, Satan, while he's cunning, he has been conquered by Christ. And you and I, we can overcome through Jesus Christ. And so we fail at time, but thank God he remains faithful to us. So when God made Adam, that was power, beloved. to make the person of Adam from the dust of the ground. But when he called Adam, that was amazing grace. He came and he called Adam not to condemn him. He called him to clothe him, to make him suitable for the presence of God. But he asked the question, Adam, where are you? He said, I heard your voice. There are many voices, even as you're sitting in this auditorium tonight. The enemy would like to put voices in your hearts that you would be distracted from even what God is saying tonight. But we thank God that we can be tuned into him. He said, I heard thy voice, but I was afraid. I was naked. And what did he do? He hid himself. People are today hiding behind so many things. We are living in a very difficult time. As was prayed already, this world is on a collision course. And we want to continue to pray for those in authority, that they will put themselves under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so things are getting bad, things are getting worse. But thank God, for you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the best is yet to be. The worst is yet to come for those who know not the Lord. But I'm so glad tonight he's asking every individual, including Viv John and Pam John, tonight, where are you spiritually? Are you hiding behind something? Is there any cover-up? He wants us to come forward to him. So I leave that with you to answer for yourself. I cannot answer for you. Each one of us must know tonight where I am spiritually. Am I in fellowship with the Lord? Am I in enjoyment in his presence? Or am I just an occasional visitor and just be a spare tire in my car for the Lord? You know what the spare tire is used for? It's only when you break down. Amen? You go to him. Only when there's a problem, you go to him. But he wants to be tonight the steering wheel of our lives. You know, we have young people here, and I'm so glad to see so many young people. You know, 0 + 0 = 0, right? Yes. And you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll tell you the answer. 0 + 0 = 0. How do you get 0 to become valuable? I know you know the answer, but because of time, I'll tell you. It says that in all things he might have preeminence. Colossians 1:20. So when you put a 1 in front of the 0, all the zeros become valuable. And in Christ tonight, every person, though you may feel like a 0, I want you to know in Christ's sight, you are precious if you have trusted in Jesus. Because you are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. So the question is, where is he? Where are you? But now we come to the first question in Matthew. And that's where I want to really bring the message quickly here. And brother, if time runs out, you just tell me and I will stop. Because you know, there was a man preaching and he was preaching beyond time. So there was a gentleman in front and he was snoring. He just fell asleep. And so he said to the other person, trying to convince the other person to wake him up. And then the person wasn't paying attention. He said, could you wake him up? He said, no, preacher, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. I don't want to put you to sleep tonight. I want to be awake to the reality tonight. So I'll try to stay within range. And if I go, I ask my brother to just tell me the time. So Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And we have the fact, the impact of seeing Christ. And that's what I want to do tonight. By faith, we want to see Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I might see Jesus. And so in Matthew chapter 2, it says here, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And look at the question, where is he? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. For brevity of time, verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts unto him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The fact is, There's no one who has been born king, as you know. The son of a king is a prince. But when you come to Jesus Christ, he was born king. He was revealed as the king, king of the Jews. But we know he's not just king of the Jews. We're going to see later he's king of kings and lord of lords. But where is he? Where is he? That's the man. I can spend a whole time speaking on that alone. Where is he, the man, who is born king? That's the monarch. That's majesty tonight. And then of the Jews, that's the Messiah, the man, Christ Jesus, the monarch, the one who is king. And then of the Jews, the Messiah. What a person for us tonight. Oh, beloved, I want you to get your eyes off the circumstances. Get your eyes off the conditions around us. Get your eyes off the problems. I want you to see the person of Jesus Christ tonight. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see him. And so these wise men, they came and they wanted to see Jesus Christ. And as they came, he was told that this one who is born king, this man, where is he, the man who is born king? That's the monarch, the majesty, and then of the Jews, the Messiah. So they came to a house, you know, and they were looking. And anytime you were looking to find Jesus Christ, to search out for him, the enemy will come in. And so the king was there and he was saying, tell me where he is. They don't know, under the scriptural review. Do you know when you open this Bible, young people, it's the only book that you open where the author is present. No other book. When you open this book, the Holy Spirit is the one who is present to speak to our hearts from the word. And so they came anyhow to the house. And they saw the young child. Now look at the impact of seeing the Lord Jesus. So when they came with great joy. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And what happened? The impact, they fell down and they worshipped him. And I'll talk a little bit on that quickly. But then they didn't come empty handed to see him. And don't read the songs about three wise men. No, there are many wise men, but only three gifts that are given here. So they came, and the gifts, look at the kind of gifts. Gold, that's the price for a mighty king. Frankincense, that's the gift for a minister and priest. And then more, that's the gift for a martyred prophet. Do you know Jesus Christ, beloved? His prophet, his priest, and his king. What a person to come into his presence. And when they saw him, they gave them these gifts, reflecting the character and the conduct of this person. And they worship him. Now, Jesus never did as a baby. He didn't do anything for them. Nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. But they worship him, not for what he would do or what he has done, but for who he is. And we worship the Lord Jesus tonight. When we see him, the impact of seeing him, we just want to fall down and worship him and tell him, there is none like you. Oh, I want you to keep that in mind. What a majestic person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Isaiah, and I'm not going to spend much time on that, Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, you know it so well. I'll just read a few verses. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then in verse 5 he says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. Let's read it again. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having on his hand a live coal, which he had taken with his tongue from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. And I saw, heard a voice, I was saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, 2 Chronicles 26:22, just to give you the voice of Uzziah, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 22 or 21. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in his fathers, the field burial, which belonged to the kings. And they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, verse 16, going back to verse 16, it says, when Uzziah was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord and burned incense on the altar of incense. The question is tonight, who is filling my vision? You can be looking at the Pope, you can be looking at the president, you can be looking at a preacher or a priest, but I want to tell you, no one can fill your vision but the person of Jesus Christ. And so Uzziah, he was taken up with the king. He was a strong man. He was well known. He had power, prestige, popularity. And so Isaiah was taken up with him. He was working with him as a scribe. And while he was alive, Isaiah was seeing the problems of the people of God only. You know, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, if you lose sight of Christ, all you will see is the problems. What's wrong with Christians? But I want you to know, beloved, Christianity is not based on the conduct of Christians. Christianity is based on the character of Christ. And so it's not looking at what's wrong with Christians. It's looking at what's right with Christ. And so Uzziah, he was there and his eyes were open. But when Uzziah, King Uzziah died, beloved, whatever is filling my vision of this world, let it come to a point of death. That you count it as if it's dead. And then get your eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. And Isaiah, then that day he looked up. Beloved, and as he looked up, he saw the Lord. That's the first thing he saw. The glory of the person of the Lord Jesus. He saw him sitting on a throne. That's the greatness of his power. And then he saw him and the train filled the temple. The grandeur of his purpose, that the glory of the Lord will fill the place in a time to come. Brothers and sisters, get your eyes on the glory of the person of Christ. And let go of all the other things that will fill your vision. And see the greatness of his power, the majesty. He is king. And he said, you know, the first thing that will happen, ladies and gentlemen, to the preacher and his wife and all of us here tonight, when you see, when you take an upward look, let it lead you to an inward look. And so when Isaiah looked up and he saw him, oh, the glory of his person, the greatness of his power, the grandeur of his purpose, he looked in himself. And the one who was pronouncing woe upon the people, woe, 6 times, woe, 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 are those people. Now he said, woe is me, for I am undone. It is so easy to see what's wrong with someone else. You know, if I look into your face tonight, I could just look at you and see. But to see my face is a lot of work. I have to leave here, I have to go to your restroom, look up a mirror, put on the light, and to look at it. It's so easy to see the faces of others. It's so easy to see what's wrong with others. But let us take, beloved, the opportunity as we see him upward. Let us see ourselves inward. Thank God, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Thank God, our failures are never final. God is faithful to forgive. Call up Brother Pete and ask him. He will give you a good report on that. And so, here he's. But not only an upward look, my brother, that will lead to an inward look. It then leads to an outward look to see the needs. And he was able. But in order to do that, he was touched with fire from off the altar, the cross of Christ, where the crucified Lord died, was then applied to his heart. Tonight there is a Christ to share and a cross to bear. And we must come to the fact we cannot share the crucified Christ without the cross of Christ. Do you know Christ without the cross? We wouldn't be here tonight. Do you know the cross without Christ? None of us would be here. But thank God, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. The judgment was taken. The fire was there. And then he was touched by the Holy Spirit by his tongue. That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, he touched my tongue. And the words were there. You know, then later on Jeremiah said, the words were found, I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Oh, the majesty of this person, beloved. Which we must go on. Now, seeing the Lord, seeing the majesty, seeing him with all his authority, his king, over all other kings of the world. No one has authority like the Lord Jesus Christ. He says all power, meaning authority, is given to me in heaven and in earth. The Lord has authority to use power in the right ways. And thank God he is full of authority tonight. What a person for us. And so, beloved, seeing the Lord, those people who saw him as a child, they saw him there and they worshipped him. Today, you can only worship him when you have accepted Jesus Christ, because you can only worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can only have the Holy Spirit in you when you have accepted Jesus Christ. So what a person, what a majesty of authority, what majesty, beloved, there is in the person of Jesus Christ. So now in John 20, in the Gospel of John chapter 20, and you notice that's very well, chapter 20, reading from verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Look at the impact. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Beloved, here we have the fact that not only we have the majesty of the person, not only we have the fact of his authority over all, but now you come to the fact of the witness of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He's now being in the midst of his own. Beloved, do you know in Matthew 26 and verse 56 in the Bible, he said, they all forsook Jesus and fled. They all, his disciples, forsook Jesus and fled. Matthew 26, 56. And so, but now, what a witness to them. The one whom they had once rejected and forsaken. Thank God, you know, I have forsook the Lord myself and many of us by not yielding to him. But the good news is that, beloved, I am so glad to tell you tonight that my Lord Jesus, he was forsaken. He was forsaken by God. When he became our sin bearer, all our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them, laid them on him. Thank God, believing, I am free. But he was forsaken that a filthy sinner like Viv John might be forgiven and never ever be forsaken by God. Brothers and sisters, it's amazing grace. It's wondrous love. So now the Lord Jesus, he came and he witnessed to the others, the one whom you have forsaken, the one whom you have forgotten, not realizing that he would rise again. I wanted to know, I'm standing here today with the identity. He said, look at my hands, look at my side. If he didn't show them, they perhaps still would not have believed. They're being like Thomas, all of them. But he showed them his true identity. I am the one of Calvary, the man of Calvary, the one who became our sacrifice for sins. And beloved, he, in 1 John 5 1 John 3 and verse 5, he said, in him was no sin. And then that's John saying that in him was no sin. When you come to Peter in Peter 2:22, he said he did no sin. And when you come to the Apostle Paul, he said he knew no sin. God was made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Beloved, he became our sacrifice. He took our sins and he made them his own. And he not only took our sins, but he gave us his righteousness. Righteous alone in Christ tonight we stand. But not only that, he became our substitute. God commended his love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing love. Who loves us like the Lord Jesus? None other. And then, beloved, he showed them he was the man of Calvary who shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of sins. You see, in Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Beloved, it's a wonderful thing. And so the Lord Jesus, he said, I want to make sure you understand my identity. I am the man of Calvary, but now I am standing in your midst, the man of victory. Hallelujah. I get excited because, you know, I tell you, he made the difference in my life. And so he said, I am standing here in victory. I have overcome sin. I have overcome Satan. I have overcome self for all of us. And beloved, he was buried. And you know, when he was buried, oh, they thought, we cannot afford to let him go. So they came to the judge of the land, the highest judge, and they said, I want you to set a seal upon the stone so that no one can break it. And he said, I want you to get the strongest soldiers and put it to watch the grave. And I want you to roll a big stone. You find that in Mark. A large stone. So that no way he can get out. But thank God, my brothers and sisters, there's victory in Jesus Christ. That he brought that seal and he turned around and he sealed you and me with the power of the Holy Spirit. And no force in hell, no force in heaven or in hell, no power on earth can break that seal. We are his on his forever. Said in Ephesians 1:13, unbelieving, you were sealed by the Spirit of God. And so now he could and he stand in the midst. And he said, I want you to know, these are the hands that were stretched out on Calvary for you. These were the hands that were nailed for you. Not like how when people die, you know, their hands, even my dad and family members, their hands are down by the side or on their chest. Not so with Jesus Christ. He died with his hands stretched out, saying, there's a welcome home. I'm dying for you. My hands are ready to welcome you home. And he saw not his head, not his feet, not the front, not the back, but his side. Oh, beloved, that's where the blood flowed out. Not like Adam, where Adam was just a rib given for him to receive his wife, his bride. But the Lord, his blood flowed out from his wounded side. And you know, one day, his bride, his beautiful bride, shall be with our beloved bridegroom. And he said, oh, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, for I cannot be silent, his child, and forever I am. And we are going to stand at his side as his beautiful bride. Beloved, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. Oh, to see him tonight. So when they saw him, you know what Jesus did? He canceled their guilt. Though they had forsaken him, no more guilt. He not only canceled their guilt, he calmed their fears. They were afraid that the people would come in and they would kill them. So they closed the doors. But no door can shut out Jesus Christ when he comes in, beloved. He wants to come right into our heart tonight. But he not only canceled their guilt, he not only calmed their fears, but he changed them from sadness to gladness. Oh, beloved, said, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. What time we go to, brother?
4 minutes.
4 minutes. I'll close it right now in Revelation quickly. Revelation 1. 4 minutes more. Thank you, brother. Thank you. You live up to grace and truth, brother. You know, grace comes before truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that. So in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 17, John now said, when I saw him, the glorified man. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And then he said, I am he who lives and who was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. See, when John saw him before, he leaned on his breast. But now he saw him as the glorified man. And he fell at his feet. You know what happens when you fall at the feet of Jesus? It means that self is hidden and the Savior is seen. And that's what we want to do, beloved. Hide self and let our Savior be seen. And then he fell at his feet and he laid his right hand. That's a hand of power, my brothers and sisters. He wants to touch our lives tonight, that we wouldn't be powerless in this society, but we would have the power, not of ourselves, but the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, living out the Christ life in us. He touched him. Oh, beloved, what power. And then what peace. He says, peace I give unto you. And now he closed with the words. He says, I want you to know, John, I am he who lives. That's resurrection. And he's saying, because I live, you shall live also. That's why we sometimes say, because he lives, I can face today. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. Life is worth the living because he lives. He said, I am he that liveth. He said, but I'm he who became dead. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, John, you don't have to be afraid of living. You don't have to be afraid of dying. I went to death and I took the sting out of death. You'll read that in 1 Corinthians 15:56. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory, etc. We said the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. We do not have to be afraid, John, of living because the Savior lives. We don't have to be afraid of dying because he went into death and he removed the sting out of death. The death for a believer is not a trap, it's a transition. Not a tragedy, but a triumph. Oh, beloved. And he said, John, I want you to know, I have the keys. I have the keys of Hades and death. He's saying, you don't have to be afraid of living because I live. You don't have to be afraid of dying because I went through death and I conquered death. And you don't have to be afraid of your destiny. Heaven is your father's land. Heaven is your home. It won't be long. We read today in John 14. I got to close. But you know, he said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. Not just to receive you into the place, but to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. When he was here, he prepared the church. Matthew 6:18, you know, he said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. But now in heaven, he's building a home for his church on earth. Hallelujah. We are going home, brothers and sisters. It won't be long. And we don't have to be afraid tonight of living. We don't have to be afraid of dying. And we do not have to be afraid of our destiny. Heaven is our Father's land. Heaven is our home. May the Lord bless us. May we be encouraged tonight that seeing Jesus Christ will make the difference tonight for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.